Okay, so we're going to pray for Zoe. And Zoe's going to share God's word with us. So, shh. Settle down for a minute. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and celebrate the fact that you have redeemed us, that you've saved us, that your salvation comes out of every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And we pray for Zoe today. She brings something of your word that it would bless our hearts, that it would encourage us, that it would strengthen us, that it would help us know that you're working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Welcome, Zoe.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hasn't it been wonderful so far? So lovely seeing the kids and the teenagers up here. Can we give them a round of applause? They've done great, haven't they? Well done, kids and teenagers. So, if I could have the first slide. Right. Now, can anyone tell me what this picture is from? It's from a film. Does anyone know what the film is? No? Yes, Sophie. Inside Out. And we've got a clip to play from the film.
Just Riley and me, forever. For 33 seconds.
I'm Sadness.
Oh, hello. I'm Joy, so. Can I just, if you could, I just want to fix that. Thanks. And that was just the beginning. Headquarters only got more crowded from there.
Very nice. Okay, looks like you got this. Very good.
Well, that's her turn. Ah, look out!
That's Fear. He's really good at keeping Riley safe.
Easy, huh? I'm back! Oh, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're back.
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Think it's safe?
What is it? Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yeah! Well, I just saved our lives. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. Cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you want to play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Right, here comes an airplane.
Oh, airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
So if you haven't seen the film, you have to see it. I absolutely love that film because it's just such a wonderful explanation of our emotions. And if I'm to be honest, sometimes my emotional temperament is a bit like the British weather. I get everything in one day. One minute I'm happy, then I'm sad, then I'm frustrated. And, you know, Pastor David, you know, likes to have a little joke about us women and our emotions. But we women, we know that the men we love in our lives have their moments too, okay? We'll keep it a secret though, men, don't worry. In this film later on, Riley believes the lie that... Riley believes the lie that she feels incredibly sad and lonely. She moves, she's missing her friends, and that feeling of feeling sad and lonely leads her to believe that no one wants her and that she doesn't have a place. So how she felt affected what she thought and affected what she believed about herself and other people around her. And she wasn't the only one. So these are a couple of pictures of the Israelites. Now the Israelites were God's people way, 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 way back when. And they were enslaved. So they were slaves for 500 years. That's a long time. That's a very long time. And during that time, they had cries of distress. They were crying out to God. They're like, God, we're suffering. It says in the Bible that they had crushing labor, that they were experiencing oppression. It was terrible. It also says in the Bible that the slave drivers were harsh. They treated them terribly, without mercy, and they were ruthless. And God does answer their prayer. Even though it was a long 500 years, he does. And you might know about the different miracles that happened. There's been films about it, about how God sent all sorts of different plagues to make it clear that the Israelites belonged to him and that he wanted them to be set free. And God does it. God does it. He does so many phenomenal things. So many phenomenal things that were not possible. And so God takes them out of Egypt and into the desert. And this is the situation for them in the desert, okay? Basically, their question is, where are you, God? What are you doing, God? There's no food here. There's no water. We're homeless. It says in the Bible that They were moaning, really. They were like, oh, God, you know, in Egypt, at least we had meat to eat and we could eat as much bread as we wanted. If only God had killed us back in Egypt. God has brought us into the wilderness to kill us of starvation. And you're like, hang on a minute. You were slaves in Egypt. What do you mean you had lots of meat and bread to eat? Your slave drivers were harsh, you were oppressed, you were suffering, you were having a terrible time. But how quickly they forgot that when they faced this challenge. And they moaned and they moaned, and their moaning exposed that what was going on in their heart, that they doubted God. Even though God had done all of these plagues, you know, to the Egyptians. They were suffering. The Egyptians had no water to drink at one point because all the water had turned to blood, but the Israelites were fine. All of the livestock were killed, but the Israelites were fine. God did all of these amazing things, and yet they're like, well, we're going to starve out here, you know? But if I'm honest, it's not just the Israelites. I'm guilty of doing that, you know, where a challenging situation happens, and that's my question. Where are you, God? I can be so quick to forget the wonderful and amazing things that God has done. So this is what I see as a flow chart. I'm quite visual, so I've got my flow chart for you guys. So on the left, so something happens, okay? Then we end up feeling something in response to that. We can end up doubting God. And when we doubt God, we can forget the good things that he's done. And then we end up believing a lie about ourselves or about God. And we see this with the Israelites, don't we? The Israelites, that something happens for them. The situation was that they were in the desert and they realized, oh, okay, yeah, we're out of slavery, but now we're in the desert. There's no food, there's no water. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm cold, I'm homeless. And they felt hopeless, understandably. You're looking around, it's desolate. They felt hopeless. And they doubted God. They were complaining. They were saying, oh, if only God had killed us back in Egypt. We're out here, we're going to starve to death. And they forgot the good things that God had done. They remembered the pots of meat and all of the bread that they wanted to eat. But they forgot how they were suffering. They forgot the miraculous things that God did to set them free from their harsh oppressors. And then they believed a lie. They were saying, you know, God has brought us into this wilderness and we're going to starve to death. God's not going to come through for us, even though we just had. Now, we can't control how we feel. Things happen and we have these emotions that rise up. But what we can do is we can talk to God about it. And we can control what we believe. We can control what we choose to remember. And we can control our response of that. Jesus is our example of how the best way that God has for us to live. Jesus is also a wonderful image and encapsulates everything that God is. So we, back then, we can't see God. And we're experiencing that now, aren't we? God isn't physically here that we can touch, but we have Jesus. And the amazing thing about Jesus is that Jesus lived on this earth. He lived, he didn't have like this special experience on earth because he was God. He went through everything that we went through and he was God. So it's beautiful because we get to know who God is through Jesus and through how Jesus treated other people and through how from what Jesus said. Everything that Jesus says complements what God had said before Jesus in the Old Testament. So in Jesus, we get to know God, but also in Jesus, we get our example of the best way that God has for us to live. I love this picture that I found of Jesus, and this is meant to be when he was praying before he got arrested. So in Matthew 26 and Luke 22, we get some of what Jesus said. Jesus is aware that he's about to be arrested, and he's aware that that arrest is going to lead to a huge amount of suffering. And he says, my soul is crushed to grief to the point of death. That is deep grief that Jesus is experiencing. He bowed his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He prayed a second time. My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. He went and prayed a third time. In Luke, it talks about how an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened Jesus as he was praying. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. That is extreme anguish and stress and grief that Jesus was experiencing. And he told his friends, he said, look, can you watch? Can you pray with me? And I think it's phenomenal that Jesus was so raw with his emotions and he didn't hide what he was feeling because he was high and mighty God. There's no shame in us expressing our emotions. There's no shame in us acknowledging our emotions. Jesus was honest with his friends and Jesus was honest with God about what he wanted. He was honest. He said, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Jesus is making it clear, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to experience this suffering that's about to happen. He was honest with God and he stated what his preference was. So we don't have to hide what we're feeling. We don't have to hide what our preference is. We can be honest with God about that. We can be honest with God and say, do you know what, God, this is really hard and I don't want to go through this. This is really hard. Could you take me out of this situation? Lord God, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. We can be honest with God about how we're feeling. Yet we see that Jesus chose to trust God with his life, even if it meant that the path was going to be painful. He said, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He's torn. He would really like this. He would really like to not suffer. He would really like to for God to take this away from him. But he trusts God. So whatever his will is, even if it means he has to go down this path, he was trusting God. And we see here the more positive response that Jesus had. So something happens, exactly the same as what the Israelites experienced. We feel scared, worried, angry, lonely, hopeless, you know. That's exactly the same again with what the Israelites experienced. However, instead of doubting God, Jesus chose to talk to God about the situation. And instead of forgetting the things that God had done, Jesus chose to remember the good things that God had done. And instead of believing a lie about himself and about God, Jesus chose to trust God and to believe truth. And we see that. Jesus realized that he was soon going to experience a whole lot of suffering, which would eventually end in death. He knew that. And he felt overwhelmed, grief-stricken. His spirit, his soul was crushed with grief. And he talked to God about it. He was honest. Please take this away. If it's possible, please take it away. And he remembered the good things that God had done. In John 17, it talks about how Jesus says, God, you have given me authority over everything. So even in that point of praying, Jesus remembered what God has done for him. He remembered who he was in God. And chose to trust God. He said, I have completed the work you gave me. Now bring me into glory, the glory that we shared before the world began. That's a promise that God had made to him. That yes, you're going to live on this earth. You're going to suffer for my people, but you will be brought into glory. Jesus is clinging on to that promise and choosing to trust God and choosing to believe what's true. And we know that it says that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, isn't it? So Jesus is clinging on to all of these truths and focusing on that as his strength to get through. So again, we can't control how we feel, but we can control what we believe, we can control what we remember, and we can control our response. So our emotions is like this. Some, you know, you're really upset, you're really angry, you're really overwhelmed, you're really stressed. And then if I were to spray all over you, you can see it. You can even see the bubbles in it, hey? Everything gets pent up and built up inside, doesn't it? If I were to open this, we'd all be a sticky mess, wouldn't we? But that's what happens, isn't it? When we are so filled with whatever emotion it is, it gets built up, and then we lose control. Psh, it's a mess everywhere. It's a mess everywhere. Or perhaps we ignore it. We stuff it down. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But then at some point, it's not fine. Maybe someone looks at you a certain way. Psh, it's a mess. It's all over the place. Ignoring our emotions doesn't work because it comes out eventually. It doesn't just die and go away. I wish it did. There have been times I'm like, Lord, can I just not feel some of these emotions? You know, can you just cancel some of these emotions out of me so I can just be even keel and all right? So we can't ignore it. That doesn't work. But also we can't have no control at all because then we say things that afterwards we realize, oh gosh, I didn't quite mean that. But once it's been said, it's said. Once the damage is done, it's done. But we can follow Jesus' example in being open and honest to those close friends or family around us. Hey, I'm really struggling right now. Can you pray for me? We can talk to God about how we're feeling. The Bible tells us that we've got the Holy Spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit is a spirit of self-control. In and of ourselves, we don't have self-control. I definitely don't have self-control. I had an outburst with my husband this week. I'll admit that. Okay? In and of myself, I don't have self-control. But in the Holy Spirit in us gives us that self-control. So we don't have to be overflowing like the Israelites were. But we can follow Jesus' example when we acknowledge how we're feeling and we're honest to God about that. We go into a room, we shut the door. If you need to scream into a pillow, you do that. You talk to God about it, you know, whatever you need to do. But we can be uncontrolled to God. God can handle it. God can handle what we say. Be honest to God about how you feel. Be honest to God about what you want to see happen. We don't need to hide our desires. Be honest to God about what we want to see happen. And let's choose to trust God. Trust what the Bible says about ourselves. Trust what the Bible says about God. We need to hold on to what's true and not hold on to what we're feeling. And remember that picture of Jesus. He was bare. He was broken, praying on the floor. We can be broken talking to God about things. Let's not hide things from God. Right, so just to get a little bit practical in terms of getting the truth in, because sometimes when you're in the middle of a situation, whatever it is, it can be hard to remember what's true, right? I know I'm like scrambling through the Bible and, you know, I need some encouragement, God. So just some practical ideas that you could put into action. So a keyword Google search. I love Google. I don't know how we lived before Google, okay? But I love Google. So what I've done before is sometimes I'm like, oh, what's that passage about, you know, freedom in Christ? I'll just Google it. I'll literally be like, freedom in Christ plus Bible. And then bam, it comes up with some verse suggestions. Or you could put in, so here on this, you can't really see it, but I've put worry plus Bible as a Google search. And immediately it's come up with a verse in Philippians, which talks about not worrying about anything, but by prayer and petition, giving your requests to God and letting God's peace come and fill you. That's this suggestion right here, the first suggestion. So if you're ever in a position where you need some encouragement from God or you want to be reminded of truth, just put in whatever it is you're wanting to find plus Bible and let Google bless you with some Bible verses. Another thing that you can do is read your Bible, you know, and it doesn't mean that you have to be reading verses and verses a day. If I'm honest, I'm in a season right now where I can maybe handle a couple of verses a day, but those couple of verses, I'm committed to reflecting on those and meditating on those, and it's just important to get something in. I've heard in a preach before that when you're in a good space, be reading your Bible so that then when you're in a difficult position, you've got those verses that you took in when you're in a good place to cling on to. Nowadays, if you struggle to read the Bible, there's audio Bible. So there's a Bible app that you can download and literally just put your headphones in, go for a walk and let someone talk the Bible to you. Wonderful. There's reading plans. If you struggle to know, okay, well, where do I start? Again, on the Bible app, you can find a plan. So that tells you what verse to read that day, and it gives you a little reflection to read to help you. Or you can have a Bible buddy. You don't have to read the Bible by yourself. If you struggle, why don't you get in contact with a friend? Hey, can we read the Bible together? Or can we read a couple of verses together? You don't have to struggle on your own. We're in it together, hey? Another thing that you can do is pray, you know? Not even can do. We must do. We have to talk to God about these things. Talk to God. And if you struggle to pray on your own, get a prayer partner. You know, hey, can we pray together once a week? I did that with a friend. And for a good few months, just once a week, 1 hour, doesn't even have to be an hour, we prayed. And it was so encouraging hearing her prayers for me. And it helped me to pray, hearing how she was praying. We both benefited from that. We supported one another and we were talking to God. Another thing to do definitely is truth versus lie. Whatever you're feeling, write it down, and I challenge you to find a scripture verse that combats that lie. So if you're feeling lonely, for example, well, the Bible says, God says in the Bible, I will never leave or forsake you. That's a direct truth to combat that lie that I feel alone. If you're feeling worried about things, then write down what you're feeling worried about. And there's a verse that says, cast all your cares on God because he cares for you. And if you're struggling to get that truth and to remember that, talk to a friend. You know, reach out. You're not alone. Maybe call up a Christian friend or text them, hey, I'm feeling really worried right now and I'm struggling to remember what is true about God. Can you send me a verse? You know, or if you're struggling, you know, Pastor David, Kerry, you know, there's people here at church who want to come alongside you and support you. So you just got to reach out. So I just want to take a moment now, wherever you are, if you just want to close your eyes, I know it's like, oh, such a typical Christian thing to do, but please close your eyes. wherever you are, just close your eyes, and I just, this is a moment now for you personally to connect with God. And I say close your eyes only because it can be so easy to be distracted by everything around you. You know where you're at right now. We come to church or we come to a public place and we muster up the strength to be positive and to put a smile on our faces when really there's a whole storm going on inside or at home. You might be feeling worried about something. You might be feeling ashamed about something. You might be feeling fed up, tired, depressed, anxious, embarrassed, unworthy, guilty, hopeless. Whatever that is that you're feeling, whatever situation that you're facing right now, just in this moment, I just want you to bring that to God. Tell God what's going on. Tell God how you're feeling. Let God know what you want to see happen. Holy Spirit, I just want to ask you now to come. Lord, only you know the depths of our hearts. I just ask you now, Holy Spirit, to come. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring comfort. It said that the angels came and comforted Jesus and strengthened him. How much better that we've got you, Holy Spirit, as our comforter. May you come and bring comfort, Holy Spirit. Where there's hopelessness, I just pray that your spirit breathe life and resurrect hope. Where there's worry or anxiety, Lord God, I just pray that your spirit of peace bring peace. Where there is doubt or insecurity, Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit just remind us of your truth, God, that we belong to you, that you, Jesus, suffered because you wanted us back in your family, in your loving embrace, in your pen of safety, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and bring strength to those who are feeling weak. Holy Spirit, come and just bring that next step, Lord. For those who are crying out to you, Lord God, hear their prayer as you heard the prayer of the Israelites. And please may you move in miraculous ways. Holy Spirit, give us courage to be raw and open with you about our emotions, just as Jesus was. Amen. So friends, your identity is in Christ. You are loved. You are chosen, you belong, you're protected, What we feel is not always what's true. We only surrender to Jesus. We don't surrender to our feelings. We surrender to Jesus. Our identity is in Jesus, not the situation.
Thank you, Zoe, for that helpful.